Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. And today in the podcast, I'm with Niels Wielaert, founder of Satelligence. Welcome back to the podcast, Niels.
Hi, thank you, Ian.
Niels, why don't you give us a bit of background to the work of Satelligence?
Satelligence is a satellite-powered geodata analytics company. And our team has worked for, I think, the past 20 plus years in tropical forest regions around the world to help make agricultural commodity production more sustainable and profitable. We provide easy subscriptions to daily insights from satellites in order to help producers, traders, consumer goods brands, and others to reduce deforestation and other supply chain risks. For instance, we map where all the oil palm and cocoa of the world is growing and where it can be associated with deforestation, the trends and the patterns and anomalies, for example. And so we hope by pinpointing the highest risk areas that we can help our users to make the right sourcing and investment decisions and help them to demonstrate progress towards zero deforestation.
You've been working with the Rainforest Alliance, the Grameen Foundation and other organizations in West Africa on a new exciting program. Can you tell us a bit about that and how you've been working with smallholder farmers in West Africa in particular?
Yeah, that's an interesting program. We are working a lot with companies on risk, especially deforestation risk. But another way to avoid deforestation is also to increase production in areas where already commodities are grown. So in this case, in cocoa, we work on finding new ways on how satellite information can help farmer development planning. So at the farm level, you can think of how many shade trees are there, what is the yield, or is there any risk of pest and disease, for example, and what can farmers do about that to make sure that they achieve good production and good income.
Let's think about 2020. So many companies have targets for deforestation for 2020. What's your sense on the work you're doing and the data you're analysing and what still needs to be done? You know, where are we? Many say we're not going to get anywhere near achieving the 2020 targets.
I think that many commitments on paper are a laudable step in the right direction, but without the implementation and enforcement, that's just words, not representing any meaningful change in reality. So I like the Forest 500 report, the countdown to 2020, Google it. That provides a very good overview. I think I agree that what needs to be done is more emphasis on the implementation and the enforcement side. We already see that many stakeholders question the assurance that certificates are supposed to give, whether for timber or for palm oil or other. I think that's also where Satelligence can help by tracking the real progress that's happening. For example, is deforestation in companies' supply base slowing down or not? Have grievances only been recorded, but also actively and verifiably been followed up? I think that's where a lot more can be done, especially the implementation of those commitments and the enforcement.
We seem to be getting to the real nitty-gritty now. And listeners, if you do want to know more about the Forest 500 report that Niels referenced there, do listen to the podcast I recorded with Global Canopy on that a few weeks ago. Thinking around the trends then that you're seeing around companies and using data, what are the exciting things that you're seeing that are coming up?
What's exciting is satellite-derived information is being used more consistently. When I think back in time, I've been working already more than 10 years ago on the ideas of using satellite imagery to inform sustainability decisions. And currently, it's really, really taking up in an operational way, also more consistently. And I think that the palm oil sector is really leading the way in using satellite information. For example, companies like Bunge are really serious. They have been for the past 3 to 4 years. Using weekly information on high deforestation risk areas, but also in investigating what that means on the ground and really taking action. For example, calling their colleagues, calling their suppliers, arranging meetings to find out what went on, making agreements, for example, on stop work orders and monitoring whether those agreements have been kept, for example, in other cases where changes have been detected in national park areas, for example, alerting the local government or NGOs like WWF about these changes, urging them to take action. I think that's what I really like about the current situation on the use of data being used more consistently.
How about investors? Are you seeing investors with concerns around potential deforestation risks in investment companies or in other parts of their portfolio? Are you seeing investors using the data to monitor such risks?
I think that's really starting, yeah, what some may call a green revolution in the financial sector, especially those financial institutions with very big portfolios having being shareholders in big corporates. We increasingly see, since last year at least, organizations that really want to know the impact of deforestation. For example, institutions like Robeco, Actium, and NIP, they take a real positive position in palm oil, which also means that they need to monitor the impact of this sector. So yeah, I see that as a very good development. And I hope that more financial institutions will follow, and that they also will play a more active role in cooperation with other stakeholders, producers, traders, and consumer goods brands in giving more openness on the production and its impact.
Thinking in a practical level then, there's an awful lot of data around. So for you, when you're working with your clients and your partners, what are the secrets that you find for avoiding data overload and to kind of define the data that's important and to make sure it's analyzed properly?
I think it's a general thing in this day and age that we are consuming too much information already. Does it lead to better decisions? Well, more often not, I think. So yeah, with this increasing deluge of data, the big data revolution is more often making life harder and not easier. So if we need better decisions, then we need to drill down to what matters most. And that's why in our system, we don't only monitor all the vegetation changes, including deforestation that happens, but also which ones are the highest risk changes. So we've developed software for that. For example, any deforestation that happens on peatland is very important often, and deforestation that happens in conservation areas. So we use additional information to drill down and pinpoint the areas where the deforestation poses the highest risks. I also think that's important because many sustainability departments, even at some of the largest companies, they consist only of just a handful of people, really limited number of people with a huge number of tasks. So they just don't have the capacity to do time-consuming analysis, and they need to focus on working with suppliers or farmers, instead of having to sift through all these millions of satellite images. So yeah, we are making it easier to access this information, and also by curating the information and pinpointing the highest risk information.
It strikes me that the secret for many companies is not to try and monitor their entire supply chain, but to really focus on where the areas of risk are. Is this a trend that you're seeing? In the past, companies, just back to the overload point, trying to do too much?
I think it's positive that companies are increasingly aiming to monitor their entire supply chain, to be done in a clever way. But I think it's possible for a company to monitor global supply chains. I also think this is a trend, companies taking bold steps toward covering global palm oil supply chains, such as Nestle and Wilmar, which have clear roadmaps towards these objectives. Ferrero, Moose & Maas achieving 100% traceability. That is something that we will see more of this year. And technically, that's also possible, because if you look at the satellite technology, there's new European satellites that enable global coverage at farm level with weekly observation. And this imagery is also available free of charge, meaning that global services can be scaled now very affordably. So I think that the technology helps there. And then, of course, on the global level, it's even more important to reduce this overload and make results available easily. I think it's necessary to cover entire global supply chains, because the risk often remains hidden in precisely that lesser known small percentage of the supply chain. And if you can know as a company, I think you should. This risk should not remain accounted for. So in that sense, trend towards entire supply chain coverage, I think it's a good trend.
I guess the most important thing for a company is to start at areas of highest risk and then roll out and know how to scale. And the technology now enables them to reach that scale.
Yes, indeed. But the trick is also in the follow-up. So when we see in the landscape approach, pre-competitive cooperation between private sector players, for example, in Siak in Sumatra, Indonesia, there's companies like Cargill, PepsiCo, working with Double Ryan Pro Forest and others to follow up in the landscape and to join forces in the follow-up. As I said, many companies, even some of the larger ones, the sustainability teams are already really overloaded. So if they can share the follow-up work with each other, that can be a game changer. I know that IDH and other NGOs are also actively promoting this. Tuton is another example with the SMV for cocoa. I think this is a good development.
It feels that the development of the landscape approach has really changed the game and allowing the sort of scaling up that we've been talking about and allowing companies to really get to grips with their its supply chains in entirety. Is further development of the landscape approach one of the trends you expect to see this year and beyond 2020?
I very much hope so, because it will be the key to good use of the information coming from a satellite-based risk alert service.
And it's, again, the development of the P-competitive collaboration that you talked about that really can work at a landscape scale.
Yes, yes, indeed. And then also even in various countries. That's also why we enjoy working, for example, with organizations like Solidaridad, which have a good ground presence around the world. And there's many more. A networked approach, that will really make a difference here. And cooperation is the key.
And any other trends that you expect to see in the next decade?
Yeah, I think we already covered more active involvement of financial institutions. It's already started. From a technical point of view, I think there will also be a growing interest in predicting deforestation. So currently, we and other organizations are focusing on early warning, closely following up what is happening now. But with the advances in machine learning and artificial intelligence, there are also opportunities to be able to predict where deforestation will happen in the foreseeable future. And that can help to be able to intervene before damage is actually done. I think we hear from several companies who are rather interested in this because they rather avoid deforestation rather than fighting ongoing deforestation. Sure. I think from a technical point of view, that might be something that we may expect to see beyond 2020.
Well, there's loads of exciting things happening. Artificial intelligence providing, no doubt, lots of further innovation and deforestation prediction is particularly exciting. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Niels. But for now, Niels Vaillard, founder of Satelligence, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.